He hideth my soul. And stand when you find it, please. 385, He hideth my soul.
Number 385.
Thank you.
I will have a special for Mrs. Judy Judge.
Bibles tonight, please turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll continue with our study on the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Give you a couple of prayer requests, announcements tonight. Before we start, don't forget, Brother Eric Corbett went home to be with the Lord. Pray for the family and also support them in the visitation Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Jason Smith Funeral Home, that's on Highway 24, north of Highway 3. And then, of course, all the information is posted on the church blog, if you're able to look there. Also, Joan Rutherford's son-in-law took his own life on Friday, and they're still waiting for the investigation to be all over before they can make arrangements. And so be in prayer for that family. It's a very difficult time for them. But I'm assuming there will be a service at some time in the near future. So let's remember them and support them in that as well. And also, Mary Dorkson's sister, Alice Smith, passed away just yesterday. And Butch and Mary went down this morning to be with family. And I just talked to Brother Dorkson just a few minutes ago before the service. He has a bad cold right now, so it's not here tonight. And but he said about a service, I asked him about a service, and he said two of the sons are flying in tomorrow, but they don't think there's going to be a service. They're kind of fighting amongst themselves whether they should have one, shouldn't have one. And so let's just pray for the family at this time. Be a blessing to Mrs. Dorkson if you can. And I know she would appreciate that so much. So be in prayer for all of these. We've been praying for Mary Muscle, and she's home from the hospital. So if you'd like to give her a call or a visit, I'm sure she would appreciate that very much. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 tonight. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We spent a week, we looked at the lust of the flesh and what all that would do to destroy your life. But we also looked at what the Holy Spirit of God can manufacture in your life and what He can do as He cultivates these fruit in our lives. But you know, each one of us have the responsibility of having a part in that fruit. And what I mean is, just because the Holy Spirit has come into your life, He's indwelling you, doesn't mean automatically you'll exhibit these fruits. The Bible says we are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. So there's something that we need to put in practice. Also, we know that the trying of our faith worketh patience. And we're going to talk about long-suffering tonight, or patience. And so there is some things that will help it to grow. But also, we need to be submitted to the Spirit of God. And as we submit ourselves to the filling of God's Holy Spirit, then these fruits begin to become more evident in our lives. And that's so important that we have them, because really they are the hallmarks of Christianity. They are what we are noticed by. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and the rest. Now let's read them together tonight. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And let's pray together. Father, we need your help tonight to understand the importance of a Christian and long-suffering. Help us understand, Lord, this important topic and this important principle that comes into our lives by submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. And may the world know us by our fruit. May they see these fruit in our lives and understand that we are truly children of God, that the Holy Spirit has control of our lives and is working through us. May that same Spirit of God teach us tonight and help me, fill me, I pray, as I surrender to Thee. And Father, we'll give You praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we used to get together when my wife was homeschooling our children. And every morning we'd gather around the kitchen table before I would go off to the church. And we would read the Bible and we would pray together. And I would always pray and I'd say, Lord, help my wife to have patience today as she's teaching. Now, I wasn't suggesting that she did not have patience, but I could imagine if I were having to teach four children, that I might not have a lot of patience. I can understand. I mean, how many of you men would agree with me? Amen? Brother Judge, how would you handle teaching? I mean, if you feel like you're locked in a cage or something. That truly is a gift that God normally gives the wife. Amen? Being able to have that patience. And so I just understood where I was at. And I understood. I couldn't. And matter of fact, I'd done it a couple times. I mean, there was a couple days where maybe she wasn't feeling well, or she needed to go somewhere and do something with the ladies in the church. And so I would have to teach the kids for a day or something. And I'm going to tell you, I needed patience. And so I pray, I say, let's pray. And I said, Lord, give my wife patience. And she said, would you stop praying that? And I said, well, you don't want me praying. No, she says, don't pray. She says, because the trying of your faith worketh patience. And she says, I'm here to tell you, every time you pray for patience for me, the Lord tries my faith. And I'm guessing it was one of the four angels that tried that patience and tried that faith. I don't know. But it's true. And you know, if you know me, I don't have a lot of patience sometimes. And I don't mean not patient with people. I'm usually okay like that. I don't blow up with people very often or anything. But I just don't like waiting for things. It drives me crazy if I order something and it doesn't come the next day in the mailbox. You know what I mean? And I've ordered a, I shouldn't say this because my kids will be watching the mail, but we ordered a Christmas gift. And it's been a month and it hasn't come. So I wrote them and sent them off an email. I said, hey, where is this thing? They said, oh, it's coming, it's coming. But I'm not patient in that way. It's a hard thing. And because I recognize that and I know that, I'm here to tell you that the Lord often tries that. People that have ever been in a store with me know that the cash register always breaks down in the line I get into. They know that. It's just a foregone conclusion. The cash register tape will run out. The girl will see something up. The money will have to be, she'll run out of change and she'll have to say, excuse me for a minute, and she's gone. One time, literally, I got into line in Food Basics, not in Simcoe, but in Stony Creek. I got into a line in Food Basics, and I waited, and I moved up to the next cart, and it was very busy. I moved up to the next cart, and I finally unloaded my stuff on the thing, and the lady put the closed sign right in front of me. And I thought, okay, she wants me to put it behind me. And she says, no, I'm closed. I said, I've been waiting in line for 20 minutes. She says, I'm sorry, I got to go on my break. I said, I really don't think you are sorry. She goes, no, I'm not. And she walked away. The Lord was trying my faith and trying to build within me patience. Well, I'll admit, I'm not perfect, but it has worked somewhat. Because now I'll get in the line and my kids will nudge me and go, hey, Dad, look at the cash register, it's broken. And I go, yeah, I know, I just expect it. If you would like to cross the border, don't get in the car behind me. Because I will be in the shortest line and yet the last car through. The Lord just knows to try my patience. And yet the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. That's something that we need to cultivate in our lives. Now, long-suffering is patience through afflictions. I'm really not afflicted when I'm in the checkout line, am I? I'm not afflicted when I'm in the car and waiting at the border. But we are afflicted at times, and there's trials that come into our lives, and that's what long-suffering is. It's more than just patience. It's patience through the trials of this life. It's patience through afflictions. It's being able to suffer long, to tolerate. It's interesting today that the word tolerance gets thrown a lot around, isn't it? We are so intolerant. Those Bible believers, they're so intolerant. Well, the truth is you're intolerant of us. But we can't say anything about it because we're to be long-suffering. We're just to have that patience during trials and tribulations and afflictions. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is a little bit different than love, joy, and peace because love, joy, and peace is something that you ought to exhibit in your life every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. All the time. Last night, Brenda came home from work, and I'll admit, I didn't have a lot of joy because it was about, what time did you come? I don't even know what time you came home. 11:30, 11:45, somewhere around there. 11:45, and, pardon? Only 11:30, but I was asleep. And Brenda didn't make a problem. He came in very quietly, but my wife wanted to see her baby boy. So she leans, and I'm between her and the door, and she starts yelling, Brandon! I got to admit, I lost my joy. But you know, we are to have love, joy, all the time. It doesn't matter if you get awakened in the middle of the night. You're to have love, joy, and peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And I know that's a goofy illustration, but it's true, isn't it? Our joy should not be dependent upon the circumstances. We've had some families in this church the last week or two have had some hard times. But they're still supposed to have love and joy. And how many of you are thankful you got the peace? Amen? But long-suffering is something that we have to call upon once in a while. It's something that we keep in the back cupboard in case we need it. And then we pull it out. Because we're not always afflicted, are we? We're not always in a position where our lives call to be patient or long-suffering. Not always. Like, a lot of you probably have pressure-packed occupations and jobs and pressure-packed lives, and so you exercise long-suffering perhaps more than others. But it is something that we need to cultivate in our lives. Can I say this? Though we don't use it very much, long-suffering is one of the most important fruit you will cultivate. And you say, why is that? Because when you learn to be long-suffering, you will learn to deal with stress properly. You know, one of the things that scares me about the next generation is that I don't know. They seem to have a lot more drama than we ever did. I don't understand that, maybe. I hear about some of the issues young people have today, and parents will talk to me, and the kids will talk to me, and they'll have all these dramas and things, and I'll say, well, we didn't have a problem like that. Brother Ronson, if Mike and I had a problem, we just punched each other in the shoulder, and on we went. The day was, I was fine. We didn't get all crying and weeping about it. We just learned how to deal with stress, how to deal with issues in our lives, how to get by it. But I'm afraid that that's becoming a lost art, maybe because we're not submitted to the Holy Spirit. Maybe because we see that our parents are not dealing with stress very well, that they're not long-suffering. I think maybe a society in the fast food age in which we live, and everything is instantaneous. Everything is right at our fingertips. I learned, how many of you went Black Friday shopping? Anybody go Black Friday shopping? I did a foolish thing. I scheduled my wife's return flight on Black Friday. And so I had to go across to Buffalo. Now, praise the Lord, I went over Friday afternoon, late afternoon, and I drove right up to the border guard and right on through. There was nobody even there. And Saturday morning, I thought, well, I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to try to go back Friday night. There'll be 1,000 shoppers, and they know every trunk is full. So I'll come back Saturday morning, and sure enough, there wasn't a car. I drove right on through. But I was dreading that trip. I thought, I'm not going to sit there for 4 hours in a parking lot, be like a parking lot at the border guard. And I just thought it was just going to be a terrible experience. And I learned, because of that, that with everything that we have today and the technology that we know, I could never leave my house again. Do you know that? I have already ordered 5 Christmas gifts from home. I've got, I off my phone, I've got eBay. Push a button, there, kids, you're done. Praise the Lord. Literally, I could preach at home over my phone and Rob could broadcast it right up on that screen. But that's the society we live in, isn't it? And we've got to the point where we expect everything now, everything's at our fingertips, everything's convenient. God forbid we have to wait 48 hours for something to be shipped to us. And because of it, we don't know how to deal with life anymore. And the Lord says, let's put the brakes on for a minute. Let's slow down. You need to learn to be long-suffering. And maybe I will hold up the mail for a week. Maybe I'll keep that check back. Let it get lost for a month. And then maybe you'll learn to submit to me. Maybe you'll learn to be filled with the Spirit and learn how to have some patience. Because I'm here to tell you, there's trials that come where we need to know how to be long-suffering. And we need to know how to act with patience. The word long-suffering means to endure hardness. It means patience amidst affliction and persecution and simply able to suffer long. Turn, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You'll have to excuse me tonight. I have terrible heartburn. It's funny, I never got it once when I was cooking for myself. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I'm just saying. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own selves shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You say, well, he's talking to Timothy, and Timothy was a pastor. I don't believe Timothy was a pastor. Timothy was a young man who was an evangelist, a man that went out and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was his job to set up pastors in churches and help organize churches, but really, he wasn't a pastor. He was a help to churches. And he was to preach the word. Be consistent, be in season and out of season. But one of the things that he said to him, he says, I want you to endure. He says, I want you to endure afflictions. That's the exact same wording that we find in Galatians chapter 5 when it says long-suffering.
You say, well, really, we're talking about a man who is in ministry, a man that has given his life to serving God. But can I say this? If I can draw from this passage of Scripture, I think what it is saying to us tonight is this: we will do nothing for God until we learn how to endure afflictions. That was something Timothy had to come to terms with. I wonder if he's reading the letter and he's just young in the ministry and Paul is saying, oh, I want you to preach the word. And he says, yeah, amen, I'm going to preach the word. I want you to be in season, in season and out of season. He says, you betcha, Paul, I'm going to preach the word no matter what the crowd is, no matter what they want. He says, there's going to be people that have itching ears. I don't care what kind of ears they got. I'm going to preach them the word of God. And he says, I want you to endure afflictions. He goes, wait a minute. What do you mean endure afflictions? You know, you won't do anything for the Lord unless you learn how to be long-suffering. Unless you learn how to endure afflictions. That's life. It really is. The Bible says offenses must come. And I've used this illustration before, but I'll share it again. If you start cutting people out of your life that offend you, it'll be very soon you have nobody in your life. Learn how to endure afflictions. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Endure afflictions. We are called to be long-suffering. The Bible says that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Friends, if you're a child of God, this affliction that Timothy knew, you will be no stranger to. Learn how to endure. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to cultivate this important long-suffering in your life. You say, how do I do that? Just submit to Him. Just give Him the problem. Let Him deal with the issue. Listen, He knows you better than you know yourself, and He knows the solution to your problem, and He can help you endure if you'll just submit to Him and trust Him. Give it to the Lord. Isn't the answer to almost everything the same? How am I long-suffering? Give it to the Lord. How can I love better? Give it to the Lord. Just trust in Him and let Him work through you. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to picture Jesus Christ in your life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Back just a page or two. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul is asking Timothy, and he's inviting him to the ministry. And he's saying, there's one thing you're going to have to do. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel of God. That with the preaching of the gospel of God comes reproach. With the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ comes persecution, comes shame, comes affliction. Listen, friend, let me ask you tonight, are you willing to endure it? Are you going to have patience when people laugh at you, when people put you down, when people mock your God and your religion? Friends, listen, let me tell you, if we will submit to the Holy Spirit of God, we will be long-suffering. I wonder how many people used to go to Bethel Baptist Church and used to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't any longer simply because they lacked the Spirit's guiding in their life, and they couldn't take it anymore. They weren't long-suffering. I'm here to tell you that the doctrine of long-suffering, or this fruit of long-suffering, is what will help you endure to the end. It is what will keep you in Christ Jesus. We are called to be long-suffering in the ministry. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That's submission. David understood that to submit to the Lord was to have his problems taken care of, that the Lord would deal. He said, well, you mean I'll have no problems? No, but the Lord will take care of them for you. Turn, if you will, to the book of James chapter 5. The book of James chapter 5. The Bible says there in verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and ye have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. See, it is those that endured, it's those prophets of old that understood long-suffering and being able to endure to the end, and enduring hardness, as the Bible says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that found the mercy of the Lord. You know, there's no reward for giving up. Do you know that? There's no reward for quitting. You know, I used to get so upset. I coached t-ball and then softball, and And for years, we did that in Hamilton. When the kids were just real little, we coached T-ball. And so I got there for the very first night of T-ball, and I guess Brennan was about 5 or 6 years old. And we got him up there, and I wasn't really the coach, but the coach was there. And he said, "I need somebody to help." And I said, "Well, yeah, I can help you." And I got out there and helped, and he never showed up again. So that's how I became coach. And so we got up there, and they said, "Well, let's explain the rules to you real quick." They said, "The kid hits the ball, and he runs to first base." I said, "Well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, that's what we always did." I said, "Did they ever run to second?" He says, "Only when the next kid hits." So I said, "If he hits that thing 3 miles, he has to stop at first base." "Well, yeah, we don't want to hurt the other team's feelings." I said, "Oh, okay." And he says, "Everybody gets to hit on the team." "Oh, okay, everybody gets to hit. So there's no outs." "No." "So if you have 9 players and they have 10 players, your first player gets to go again, so each get 10 at-bats. Each inning, whatever it works out to." And Isabel was on our team too, Isabel Rutherford. And we said, "Okay." And they said, "So then, if every kid scores every inning, the last kid that bat hit a home run, they all 4 would go around." I said, "Who wins?" "Well, we don't keep score." "So what do you mean you don't keep score? What kind of sissified league is this? I mean, keep score. We want to win, right?" "No, we don't keep score. We don't keep score." I thought, listen, you want to talk about trying my patience. Long suffering. But you know, that's the philosophy of the world today. Let's not judge anybody. Let's not keep score. Listen, I'm telling you what, there's a righteous judge in heaven that's keeping score. And every man shall give him account of himself to God. And one of the things he's looking down upon us is saying, "Did you endure hardness? Did you just keep fighting to the end?" I never understood that ball game, and the reason I never understood is because at the end of the year, every kid got a trophy. Well, isn't that nice? You mean the kid that stood out there behind second base and made sandcastles the whole game? Yeah, he gets a trophy too. The kid that ran the wrong way around the bases? Yeah, he gets a trophy too. There was kids, I can't even say, they were picking their nose. They got trophies too. Listen, I'm here to tell you that when you quit the race, there is no prize. We are to run the race. How? With patience. That's what my Bible says. Run with patience. And if you want the prize, you gotta endure to the end. You have to be long-suffering. You have to persevere. You have to keep going for Christ. But you'll always fail if you fail in long-suffering. Learn to endure. Learn to be patient. We are called to be long-suffering through our labor. You know, it's not just a negative thing. It's also a positive thing. To be long-suffering means that we are to dwell on the positive as well. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. If you're in 2 Timothy, just turn forward a few pages. Titus, Philemon, or Hebrews, James. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, I should say. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. So we are to be long-suffering through afflictions, but we are also to be long-suffering through labor. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so after," listen to this, "he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." You see, we aren't just to be long-suffering when it comes to afflictions. We're to be long-suffering in what God has given us to do. You know, so many, we just quit because we're not seeing results. Just keep pushing. Keep going forward for Christ. Do the right thing. And trust God. He'll give the increase. The story is told of a man that was told to push a rock up a hill. The rock was a boulder, probably about a ton in weight. So the man for days just patiently and faithfully kept pushing the rock and pushing the rock and pushing the rock. And after God came back 10 years later and said, "How'd you make out with the rock?" He says, "It hasn't moved an inch." It seems like it was a fruitless exercise. I don't understand why I would just keep pushing the rock all day. God, you knew it would never make it up the hill. And God said to the man, but look at your back, how strong it is. And look at your biceps, the muscles that have been developed. You see, when we are patient in what God has given us to do, and we just keep pushing and keep striving and keep working towards the goal, even though there seems like there's no hope in sight, God blesses us anyway. The Bible says we are to be long-suffering through labor. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When the Bible says we should not faint, or if we faint not, it's saying be long-suffering, be patient, just keep working, keep going for Christ, and trust God that He will reap in due season. Don't give up. Don't give up. You ever wonder what would happen if you gave up and somebody else came along and reap the harvest of all the seed you'd sown? Wouldn't you feel bad? I've told you about Pastor Tolbert. When we got there, the church was running about 80 people. He was the sixth pastor in just 13 years, and he'd been there for six. And within 2 years after that, God allowed them to build a 200-seat auditorium, and today they have a 500-seat auditorium, packed out every week. He said, preacher, he says, I'm so glad. He says, I'm so glad I didn't quit just after 5 years or 6 years like every other preacher did. I'm so glad I didn't quit after 10 years. He says, I'm glad that God allowed me to stick it out, and I just stuck it out and just kept working and kept praying, kept working until God did something. And God did do something great. Be long-suffering. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap not. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I asked a preacher who'd been at his church now for 17 years, and his congregation's very tiny, and he just keeps laboring faithfully, keeps knocking on doors. I said to him, do you ever get discouraged? He said, no, because I don't put my hope in the results. I put my hope in the Lord that said, keep going knocking on doors. Go out two by two and preach the gospel to every creature. And as long as I'm doing that, as long as I'm patiently enduring what God has given me to do, I'm not going to get discouraged. That's where we put our hopes, is in doing the will and the work of God. And we are to be long-suffering in our labor. Thirdly, tonight we are called to be long-suffering as a testimony of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then as workers, together with Him. Man, I tell you what, you read that, that just strikes me as a great privilege. We then as workers, together with Him. How dare we say that we are co-workers with Christ? But the Bible does. Beseech you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything. So now, he says, I'm talking to the workers, those that are serving Christ. He says, you have chosen today to be the day of salvation. And here's some things he wants to see in our lives. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Why? Because we're testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, look at the next thing, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Listen, the Bible is saying when there's struggles in your life, that's when it matters most. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ can be seen. It's so easy to be patient when everything's going well, isn't it? You know? How many of you are happy tomorrow if you go to your mailbox and there's a check for $1,000 rather than a bill for $1,000? I mean, woo, that's easy, isn't it? Well, praise the Lord, look at this. Let me challenge you to do this. When you get your hydro bill tomorrow, say, praise the Lord. I've got a home that God has given me. I've got lights that I can turn on. I've got a furnace I can put on to keep warm in this cold weather. That's when it really matters. You know, the world doesn't notice us when things are going well and we smile. It's when we're enduring afflictions they see that we have Christ. When it's at the darkest moments of our lives, when we lost loved ones, when we get bad news from the doctor, friends, that's when they're watching. And he says, we then as workers together with him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be patient. When? In necessities, in afflictions, in distresses. That's when we testify of Jesus. That's when they see the difference. We are called to be long-suffering as a testimony of the grace of Christ in our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 1 says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ, might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, I've taken this as a personal challenge from the Lord, that I could show forth to others long-suffering. Maybe Paul was saying that, I think that's why God has allowed me to be shipwrecked and allowed me to be beaten and allowed me to be thrown into prison, allowed me to be beaten and left for dead, just so I can show forth what Christ has done in my life. And I can be a testimony of his grace by patiently enduring these afflictions. See, that's when it matters most. That's when people are watching. We are called to be long-suffering as a testimony of Christ in our life. And fourthly, tonight, we are called to be long-suffering as Christ, our example, was long-suffering. You say, I just don't think I can do it. The Bible says he endured such contradiction of sinners, and he went to the cross of Calvary for you. He did it for you, and he's asking you to do it for him. And nobody's crucifying you. Now, there are places in the world where that is a real threat, I understand. Where there are martyrs still today, where they're being threatened with their very lives, I get that. Where they're being cast out of their homes burned to the ground, where their children are being taken as slaves, I understand that's real, but not here. The affliction that we get here is we get laughed at. We get called silly for believing these old fables in the Bible. That's about the extent, isn't it? Anybody ever beat you up for sharing the gospel with them? We are called to be long-suffering as Christ, our example, was long-suffering. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. He said, I just feel like giving up. I don't think I can endure any longer. Consider him. He did it for you. He's asking you to do it for him. I'm so thankful the Lord is long-suffering, because the Bible says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. To you. Put your name in there. Not willing that any should perish, but that all, that you again, should come to repentance. You say, why should I be long-suffering? Because Christ was. And we're to be Christ-like. Yes, when we show forth God, show forth Christ in our life. I was with Pastor McLean one time. We were in Cincinnati, Ohio. We were down for a conference years and years ago, and there was a shoe store that had a sale, buy one, get one. He says, you buy one, I'll get one. I said, okay, let's do that. So we went in there, and the whole time he was whistling as he walked around the store, just whistling. And old hymns, you know, and his favorite hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness, that third verse, he loves that. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. And so he's walking around, he's whistling that. And the girl says, boy, you seem happy. She says, you've whistled the whole time you're in here. What? And he got to pull out a gospel track, and he got to share the gospel with her. You see, the world sees the difference. But they need to see it all the time. They need to see it when the things are high. They see the love, the joy, and the peace. But when things are low, they need to see long-suffering. They need to see patience. They need to see us endure afflictions with the joy and the love of the Lord in our hearts. That's long-suffering. And you say, why should I do that? Because you want to be like Jesus Christ. You want to be more like your Savior. Doesn't the Bible say to put on Christ? Put on Christ. So how do I do that? Start behaving like him. Start patterning your life after the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things he did was long-suffering. And by the way, he was patient with you. He was long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. You know, it might be one of the most difficult of these fruits to exhibit in our lives, and yet it's one of the most important. The world wants to see how we deal with stress and pressure. They want to know how we'll handle affliction. And it says much about our character and our submission to the Holy Spirit when we respond with patience, with long-suffering. Let me encourage you tonight. The Bible says we are to be slow to anger. I know that's something that a lot of us need to work on. I need to work on. I understand that. But it goes hand in hand with being patient and long-suffering, doesn't it? Being able to endure affliction. You want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says he opened not his mouth. He just suffered patiently. He said nothing. Let's strive in our lives. You say, how do I submit to the Holy Spirit? Walk in the Spirit and you'll fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Give your heart to Christ and submit to him. Make this a matter of prayer in your life, not just for long suffering, but for all the fruit of the Spirit. Submit to the Spirit of God prayerfully. Seek him sincerely. And make it a daily act in your life. Let's pray together. Father, help us tonight to exhibit these gifts. I pray that you'd help us to cultivate them in our lives. May the Holy Spirit of God guide us and direct us and teach us and help us to be submissive to him. Allow him to have control. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight as we...